listening to the Just Means Less ACC podcast with your hosts, Micah and Nick. Nick, how are we doing this Thursday evening?
Not too bad, man. Can't complain all that much. I can't believe college football's over, or at least the regular season. It's kind of sad. And it feels weird because Thanksgiving was very early this year, so I still feel like we have one more week to go. And I guess because also the first week was pretty – it's usually late August, but it was kind of earlier in August than usual. So I'm a little off on my weeks. But other than that, man, I'm good. I can't wait to talk. We've had a dramatic week already with transfer portal and coaching moves, and we're going to preview the ACC championship game, but I can't complain all that much. How are you doing?
I am battling another cold, so that's fun.
I can hear that in your voice.
Our women's basketball team got smacked today, so that was not fun, but I mean, we're chilling, man. We got one more weekend of crazy college football trips this weekend, so that'll be fun. Going to the Liberty New Mexico State's USA title tomorrow, and then the FCS playoff game between Chattanooga and Furman, and then heading over to Charlotte to be boots on the ground for that ACC title game. So we're looking forward to that one. Shout out to pretty much everybody. I got a credential. I got for the CUSA title. I got a credential slash field pass for the Furman game, and then my ACC friends gave me a free ticket at the 50-yard line in the upper level, but row two, so no complaints there. So we'll be hopefully it doesn't rain. The weather's supposed to suck. That's the only thing that I'm a little concerned about, especially battling a cold. So we'll see what happens here, but I'm ready
that's freaking awesome, man. I think what this is the first time one of us is going to the ACC championship game since I joined you. Is
yeah,
that right?
No, that's right. Yeah, this would be the first time that we've been boots Hell on the yeah. ground since we've gone. So that'll be fun.
That's exciting, man. I'm excited that you're going. I can't wait to see what you put out. I'm excited to hear the updates. Man, that's exciting.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch ACC football. So that's gonna be fun. But it might be that I've been to three ACC championship games now. And I'm trying to decide if this is the biggest one I've been to, Nick, because I went to that North Carolina Clemson game when it was, oh my gosh, where am I drawing a blank on his first names? But Williams. Oh my gosh. Marquise. Thank you. Williams for North Carolina, where, you know, the onside kick, the refs jipped North Carolina, where they, who knows, win that game. That was 1 versus 10. So this game maybe means a little bit less, but at the same time, like, that game was like, you know, there was the outside shot of two teams getting in, where, I mean, I would say that this game is way more do or die, because like if Clemson would have lost to North Carolina, there was a good chance they still got in. And then the other time I went, you know, Clemson, who did they play? Was it North Carolina again? No, it was Miami. That one was probably the biggest one. That Clemson Miami, where it was 1 versus 5 or 2 versus 6, whatever it was, when College Game Day was there. And then Miami lost by like 50. So
I can't believe Miami was that high. I remember
Fun fact, Nick, that was the first time I met Hayden. So shout out to
Hayden. Get out! I thought you guys probably knew each other before then.
No, we met in whatever that was, 16, 17, 18. I think it was 17. Yeah, it was 2017. So that was the first time we had like interacted on Facebook or whatever, social media, but that was the first time we actually met in person. So anyway, shout out to Hayden. But no, let's preview this game first, and then we'll get into the other news and notes, because this one's probably the most time pressing. Obviously, we've got number 14 Louisville and number 4 Florida State in a win and you're in situation for Florida State. Like, the good thing that I'm most happy about is, of all, like, I've listened to a few ACC podcasts, or a few college football national podcasts, as well as just some, you know, watching that ESPN college football, not final, but whatever the heck they call it. And even just based off of Boo Kerrigan's words on Tuesday night, it kind of feels like, you know, it's pretty clear if Florida State wins, they're in. It doesn't sound like there's going to be any reason to take them out because, I mean, let's just be honest. A Power 5 team that goes undefeated cannot be left out. I don't care the situation. Like, and that's the thing, too, is, like, if this was – and I'm not trying to slander my favorite team, but if this was 23rd-ranked Virginia, like we saw a few years ago in the ACC championship game, maybe I could hear out, like, oh, that's not that great of a win, right? That's a 9-3 team, whatever. This is still a top 15 team at the end of the day. The committee views it as such. I mean, Louisville's going to be chippy and pissed. So, you know, this game is going to, you know, obviously propel either Florida State to the playoff. And really, that's the thing that stinks is, like, Louisville – excuse me. The only thing they have is, you know, obviously the ability to say they won the ACC. And obviously play spoiler. But they're going to the Capital One Orange Bowl or whatever. Is it still Capital One? Whatever it is. They're going to the Discover Orange Bowl, Capital One Orange Bowl, whatever the heck the Orange Bowl sponsored by now, no matter what, win or lose. So, you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, my buddy who's a – Louisville fan, you know, they've talked about all how they're already going to Miami no matter what. So it's kind of not irrelevant for them, but I kind of wish that's the only thing I wish that there was a little bit more of the line for Louisville. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is a huge, huge game. So I'm glad to be going. But, Nick, what are your initial thoughts just on this game before we kind of do a little bit more of a deep dive to it?
Initial thoughts. I think Louisville, being a newcomer in the ACC, would love this title. I think that would be huge. I think they feel like, you know, in the 2016-2017 era with Lamar Jackson, they were definitely one of the top two best teams in the ACC, and unfortunately they could not go because they lost the head-to-head to Clemson, so unfortunately they did not participate in that. But let's see, initial thoughts. Louisville to me is struggling a bit. Obviously the loss to Kentucky is not good. You know, I firmly believe that if the refs had a good call or good game against Virginia, they win that, or they would have lost that game. I think they're kind of reeling a little bit, but they will be up for this game. There's no doubt in my mind. And my thoughts on Florida State, I get it, Jordan Travis is out, but this is like a little sneak peek to my little rant that I might do later. But there's a lot more than just Jordan Travis on this team. You've got studs on either side of the field at wide receiver. You got a great O-line. You got a dynamic running back. To me, in my head, I don't think there should be a reason why Florida State loses. And I could be completely wrong, but just the way things have been trending lately, I get Florida State struggled, but they were at Florida. It's a rivalry game, yada, yada. But I don't know. I think Louisville has struggled enough for me to say that I think Florida State could have this thing wrapped up in two scores, you know, by the end of the result, by the end of the game. I think Florida State could be winning this by two scores.
Wow, all right. You made your prediction before we even got into the deep dive. Jeez.
Well, Nick, I have more deep dive stuff, but yeah,
I'm just guessing that Nick's got something he really wants to get off his chest. I wonder what that could be. Cough, cough, MJ Morris, cough, cough. But anyways.
No, I have nothing about that really, but it was about Florida State.
Fair. Okay. Well, anyways, you know, you kind of nailed it. It sounds like Tate Rodemaker's good, so that's obviously huge. Obviously very beneficial to have him in the lineup for these two teams. You know, it's going to be interesting because we've seen this, you know, Florida State team really rely on the pass early on in the year, and now they're obviously truly relying on running the football. Like you said, you know, obviously, you know, Benson has just been lights out for Florida State. I mean, Trey is just – he's stepped up. And, you know, it's going to be interesting because I really do think that Louisville has the better backfield, though. You know, with Jordan and, you know, I'm not even going to try to say it, Nick, because I always get it wrong. But, you know, it's just
– they have the best 1-2 punch, I think, in the ACC at running back.
I mean, the biggest question, obviously, is can Rodemaker get the football to Coleman and Wilson and Bell? Because those guys are just – they're just so damn good. I mean, we saw it. I mean, Louisville gave up a lot of big plays, and that's what's going to be interesting is because – as much as I want to say, hey, Louisville, just stop the run. Just, you know, load the box and make Rodemaker beat you. If they do that, they're going to find Wilson for a long play. They're going to find Coleman for a long play. Like, I don't think this Louisville defense is just so sound that they're going to be able to just sell out on the run and stop Tate Rodemaker. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see what we get from these two teams because, you know, I want to think that Florida was more of a matchup nightmare. Obviously, Tate's first game, hostile environment. I don't know what to expect from the crowd, Nick. Like, is it going to be pro Florida State? Is it going to be 50-50? Like, you know, in many years, we're always like, oh, that's a Clemson home game. It's a Clemson home game. It's a Clemson home game. It's a Clemson home game. Like, what are we going to get from a crowd? Because –
right.
I don't know about you. I have no idea. So, you know, you look at this and, you know, this opened at 4.5 in favor of Florida State. We're down to a 1.5 point spread. So,
jeez.
I mean, people, again, the weather is playing a little bit of a role into it. And people really think that Florida State's and people are kind of rooting for it, Nick, because that does provide more chaos. So, it's going to be interesting. I mean, I guess my X factor, Nick, and I want you to give me one of yours afterwards, is Jack Plummer. Will he turn the ball over? Because if he stays out of his own way, they could win this football game, no problem. Honestly, I think, like, he's a good enough quarterback to when he plays to his potential, that's a winning football team. The problem is he got in his own way. This Florida State defense is pretty damn good. Like, they don't get talked about enough because, you know, obviously, like, it's always been Jordan Travis and Keon Coleman and Johnny Wilson. But this defense is pretty darn good. I mean, they pretty much willed the Florida win and they willed the North Alabama win. I know it was North Alabama, but, like, if they don't step up early on when the offense had absolutely nothing going for them, they might honestly lose to North Alabama or at least not blow them out. So –
they also they also shut down the Heisman contender for the whole second half earlier in the season.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, what is your X factor in this game? Because I really do think it kind of relies on Jack Plummer. Because if Plummer struggles, then I really do think, like you said, Florida State could easily win this game by 2 scores.
Yeah, that's a good tick. I think my X factor really is going to be Rodemaker because Louisville, like you said earlier, is going to make Rodemaker throw the ball. How accurate he can be, his decision-making, all that is going to play in a role on Saturday. And not only that, like, they need – obviously, you win and you're in, and there are a lot of people, like, people in the media, fans, whatever you want to say, that still believe that Florida State, they don't want to see Florida State in it, even if they are undefeated. The committee wants Florida State to lose. They don't want to deal with the backlash of putting Florida State in, which I don't think they should get any backlash. I think people that are saying that are dumb. But my X factor is Tate Rodemaker. If he could put up numbers, shut down Louisville, and win this game, then truly you would see Florida State is going to be just fine without Jordan Travis. I mean, obviously you would love to have him. I'm not saying, you know, Jordan was he just wasn't the complete X factor that Florida State had. There are other players on this team that can make great plays. And if Tate can get to those guys, then I think Florida State will win and shut up the haters that they should be in the playoffs. So if Tate has a good game, then I think it's pretty much a done deal at that point.
Yeah, and something that I think is of note, I think it's funny, of course, we're picking our X factors to be the quarterbacks, but you know, Jeff Brohm took Purdue to the Big Ten Championship game last year. Jeff Brohm, Nick, is 3-2 against top 5 teams in his career. But obviously last year in the Big Ten championship game, he lost by 21 to Michigan.
Right.
But if you remember that game, that was a 14-13 game at the half. And then Michigan kind of ran away with it. That's what's intriguing to me is I genuinely think Louisville's – like, I don't expect this game to be over at halftime. I expect this game to be very competitive. And that's the thing is, this year's Michigan team, no offense to Florida State, but I think they're better than this year's Florida State and the current status they're in. Now, maybe Tate Rodemaker proves me wrong, but that team defensively was as good, if not better, than the Florida State team. And obviously the quarterback play was better for Michigan at that time too. So – it's going to be interesting to see what we get from that, Nick. I know. What was your prediction, your actual prediction?
The score prediction, I'm going to go Florida State 35, Louisville 24.
Nick, I hate that everybody is on Louisville right now so much because I really do want to pick Louisville because I just feel like it's the most ACC thing, man, for us to knock at a team in the playoff. It just feels like that's the most ACC thing.
Yeah.
But I'm going to pick Florida State. I'm going to say walk-off field goal, 34-31. I think it's going to be – actually, you know what? Let's go 27-24. I know that's not that much of a difference, but I do think it'll be – I don't know if I see 65 combined points. I think the over-under is set at 47.5. So I'm still going over, but I don't want to blow that over out of the water. So we'll go 27-24. This should be a really, really good football game. I know this is obviously an ACC championship game preview, but we already did it. And, you know, I just don't think our listeners care all that much for us to break down every single film. If you want to break down your opponent, if you're a Florida State fan or a Louisville fan, there are a lot of great podcasts out there that will do that. Nick, let's address the elephant in the room that is the transfer portal. Because obviously it affected you the most so far, at least we'll say so far. MJ Morris did enter the portal. Nick, how do you feel about that? Because I'm not going to lie to you. I was oh my gosh, what the heck? No, because obviously we knew he redshirted himself. But like, I honestly thought the odds of him entering the portal were less than I thought.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm surprised at myself that I didn't have a bigger reaction to it because everyone in my ear was like, you know, he's gone. He's gone. Like, as soon as he did it himself, he was gone. All my friends said it. Everyone that interacted with me on Twitter said that he's gone. Hell, even my mom was the first person that said it. She saw the post first. She was like, yeah, I know he's gone. You do know that, right? Like, he's not coming back. And, it is a little shocking because of how loyal he seemed, how he kept saying that he was going to stay. His dad coming out saying if he would have transferred, he would have done it in January or May. Basically, what everyone has come down to, the conclusion that State fans have come down to is that I think his parents were in his ear, that family was in his ear and said, you should go somewhere else. Whether that be financial situations, which I could completely understand, but I don't know. He's getting a lot of backlash. Me personally, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I'm just happy right now that we have the potential to get 10 wins. And I'm happy that Brennan's playing well and that, he stuck around and I'm just happy where we are this season right now and going into next year. I mean, I guess we have to start looking for a quarterback, but what I'm afraid of is that we are going to keep looking for transfer QBs instead of developing our own, you know, like I put it out there like, hey, why not? Like, is it Lex Thomas season? Like we have Lex Thomas ready to go after a year of being, you know, the third string. We maybe throw him out there and see what happens. We have a huge four-star recruit coming up as a true freshman next year. We'll see what happens there. But I'm just kind of afraid that, you know, with transfer portal and NIL and stuff, we're starting not only to lose the backup QB situation, like the greatest luxury to me, I think, is having a good backup quarterback. And that is lost in the transfer portal. Now it's starting to feel like we are losing the development of a quarterback that you recruited yourself. So State right now has three QBs in the quarterback room after Brennan is gone. So we'll have Lex, we'll have Cedric Bailey, and then Jacob E, or I forgot what his name was, or whoever our fourth string was, but I'm afraid that there will be a lack of development and then they'll start to leave. You know, that's kind of what it's come down to. Yeah, it's disappointing that MJ didn't stick around. Like, I thought he would be the future. I thought we would have him for 2 years. It looked like he loved what State was offering, what he loved everything about it. And for him to make that decision is kind of shocking. So well, I'm curious what your thoughts are. Like, I think right now we are getting closer and closer for contracts in college sports. Like, college athletics are going to come down to when you recruit someone and they sign, they're going to sign to a contract for a certain amount of years and a certain amount of money. Now, it's to each of their own, like, depending on what position or what your situation is or the team situation is based on what they need from that player, you know, everyone's going to have their own thing. But what's your take? Because you and I have been talking about it for a while about MJ Morris.
Nick, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me? Hello? Hello? Can you hear me?
Gotta love a university and their Wi-Fi. Just randomly decided to cut out. But anyways, no, Nick, I mean, my opinion on all of this is just, like, I'm not even worried about the contract stuff. When we get there, we get there. I think people need to take a little bit of a chill pill on is this is going to stop at some point. Like, in terms of this level. Like, I'm looking at 24-7, and it doesn't even include MJ Morris yet, Nick. We've got Dante Moore, Will Howard, Riley Leonard, Tyler Van Dyke, Will Rogers, DJ Uiagalelei, Mac Brosmer, who's one of the top FCS transfer portals, Grayson McCall, Brendan Sorsby, Matt Saluka, another top FCS, Tyler Shuck, Max Johnson, Hank Bachmeier, Noah Kim, Spencer Petras.
Hank Bachmeier still has eligibility.
Yep. Ken Seals. Mitch Griffiths. Like, I just named Ben Fidley. He's in the portal. Did you know that? Ben Finley's in the portal.
I did know that. Ben was in.
The amount of people that are in the portal that have started or been a key part of their team at quarterback is insane. And it's not over. Like, Nick, these are only people that have the – like, technically, they cannot enter the portal unless they are graduating or it's, again, like, first-time stuff. Like, most – like, I don't know how Dante Moore is actually technically entered because you have to be – the portal doesn't open until the third unless you're a grad. That's how Van Dyke's in there. Rogers is in there. Uiagalelei, Leonard. So I'm not sure how Dante Moore got considered entered yet because technically he can't be entered yet. He can say he's entering the portal, but he can't enter the portal. That's why he hasn't committed anywhere. Like Riley Leonard, I don't know if he's actually graduated or not. So like, technically he can't enter the portal if you're not a graduate yet. That's the thing. The portal hasn't even fully opened yet. We're running into a situation where some of these bowl games, man, like, Coastal Carolina is going to have to let Grayson McCall play because if not, they don't have a quarterback. Like, plain and simple, they're not going to have a quarterback. I mean, it's nuts. So, at the end of the day, it is what it is. I do think the people, like, I think it's going to eventually catch up, man. Like, Patrick Garwo from, you know, Boston College, the running back, he's in the portal. Like, it's going to catch up, man. You're not, like, not everyone's going to be sought after. The money is not always going to be greater. I know the whole, oh, you need $2 million to get a good quarterback kind of thing. Yeah, but what's going to happen, Nick, is when people spend $2 million on quarterbacks that don't produce. Like, someone's going to spend $2 million to sign Tyler Van Dyke. Is there a guarantee that Tyler Van Dyke is going to be worth $500,000 to even $2 million? Probably not. Like, he might not be successful. Like, I don't know what NC State paid Brennan Armstrong, right? But imagine if they gave him $1 million. Would you say he'd been worth $1 million this year? Hell no. Like, it's going to catch up at some point. I'm not that worried about it. You know, it is what it is. I mean, I'm surprised Virginia doesn't have anyone in the portal yet, but obviously, again, they're not truly opened yet. So at least not a major note. But, I mean, again, I'm not even – but, again, I still think that the portal's a good thing. I really do. They may need to adjust some of the ways you enter or when you can enter or whatever, or, like, how this whole social media aspect of it is maybe. But at the end of the day, like, coaches can do this anytime they want. The athletes should get one opportunity to do that as well. And, again, if they graduate again, so be it. They got a degree. I don't blame them. Some places you can't even get your degree at your school. So why should you have to sit out a year if you're trying to do another grad year? So I have no problem with it, but it does stink. I mean, I'm kind of tracking it, but also not really tracking it. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of all I got on that.
Any thoughts on Mitch Griffiths from Wake Forest hitting the portal? To me, I was a little surprised by that because he seemed like he was going to be a project for Wake to build up, or like build something around him.
I think he lost the job.
Yeah, I know he lost the job.
No, but no, I think he lost the job. Kern's got years left, right? He's not graduating, correct?
Kern's got one more year left.
Yeah, yes. Griffiths has got what, two?
Griffiths has two.
Kern, if it's Kern's job going into next year, find a new home. I mean, why wouldn't you? Like, I know it's annoying, and obviously it would be nice to have those two still in the room, but, like, If it's pretty clear you're not going to be the starting quarterback entering fall or spring camp, spring ball, then, like, he's not going to be highly sought after. But, Nick, I mean this in the kindest way possible. Mitch Griffiths would make a lot of sense at Appalachian State or ECU, right? Like, I'm just throwing North Carolina schools out purely because of geographic purposes. Like, right. He makes sense at those places. He would probably start, especially at ECU. Like, why not go start somewhere? Maybe turn that program around a little bit. I don't necessarily blame him. So, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Or, like, that it's a bad decision or anything like that. I mean, if you think you lost that spot, sometimes you need to change the scenery just to turn things around.
Yeah, and he will be graduating from Wake in May. So, for those of you that thought that he was really young and couldn't do it, well, he is actually graduating. So, yeah, that one, honestly, Mitch transferring, surprise. I was a little more surprised about that than kind of MJ transferring too. But hey, do you have any predictions on where Riley Leonard is going? Do you think
he's going to Notre Dame? He's going to Notre Dame. Everywhere says he's going to Notre Dame. He's an academic guy. He's going to Notre Dame. I think that's where he's going. But
yeah, and if you're Duke, you know, you saw a glimpse, really good glimpse of Clemson. So, I wouldn't be too worried about, like, oh God, we're done if we don't have Riley Leonard. But you did lose Mike Elko, so there is that job search. But yeah, no. For a second, I thought he would follow A&M, but I saw what you saw. It looks like he will be going to Notre Dame.
Yeah. excuse me. This cold is brutal. All right, let's move on to coaches. Mike Elko leaves for Texas A&M. Obviously, you already mentioned that. I don't blame him. First off, anyone that's mad at him, I do not blame him. Like, he's not like he's a Duke grad or anything like that. And, like, to get that amount of money and that much of an assistant pool, like, it's not even a shot at Duke, dude. Texas A&M just has so much unreal money. It's like, you got to take a chance to get paid what he's getting paid, to be able to pay top-level assistants what he can pay them. Why would you not want to do that? And you want to bet on yourself. And, like, I genuinely believe that Mike Elko was the glue that kept Texas A&M, like, at that 9-10 win season stuff before he left.
Right.
So Totally, completely understand. Great hire. Nothing. And like, no matter what, I know Duke fans might be pissed. Duke fans, you're the first people to admit that you're a basketball school. Guess what? He's not going to be at anymore. He's going to be at a football school. I texted him, basketball is actually better than their football program right now. But do you think people are, you know, knocking on the door to go to every men's basketball game? Heck no. But are they getting 100,000 plus to show up every single Saturday at Kyle Field? Damn right they are. So completely great hire for both sides. I completely credit Mike Elko. I think he did it the right way. And like, I have no problem with it at all. But quickly, Nick, I just want to go through some of the what was listed as the top 9 potential replacements according to the Duke Chronicle. First one was Jamie Chadwell from Liberty. I can tell you right now that's not happening. Jamie Chadwell knows what he has at Liberty. He has resources, he has money, he has like Liberty's pumping so much money into their football program, it's unreal. Plus, on top of it, let's just be real, like he should run the Conference USA for years to come. Like Jamie Chadwell's next job should be big time. And he turned down Mississippi State. I mean, I don't want to say this because I think it's not as big of a gap as people might think, but Mississippi State's a better job than Duke. It just is. I don't know by a lot, but it's a better job. So if you turn that down, why would he go to Duke? Next on the list was Willie Fritz from Tulane. Maybe. It could work, but does Willie Fritz want to, like, retire in Duke? Because like he's – I'm not saying he's super old, but, like, I think his next job is probably his last if he leaves. So maybe. Kurt Cignetti and James Madison. Well, that's off the board because Indiana hired him, so not an option. Jim Knowles, defensive coordinator from Ohio State. He was the defensive coordinator at Duke under Cutcliffe. That one would be, I think, a pretty good hire.
Yeah.
Another defensive coordinator. Ryan Grubb, the OC at Washington. Maybe. Alex Atkins, the OC at Florida State. Again, kind of a maybe. I think, Nick, they should hire Kevin Johns. Kevin Johns has joined the staff at 22. Came from Memphis. He had a high-scoring offense. I kind of like Duke going all the in-house hire here. That's my opinion. So what are your thoughts on this Duke job, Nick? Is there anyone that you really want Duke to go after? I mean, I think, again, if you can pull off Jim Knowles or Willie Fritz, do it. But Kevin Johns, I think, would be your best, most realistic candidate, in my opinion.
I kind of like the Jim Knowles. Wait, who is the one that's at Ohio State? Bless you.
What was that, Nick?
who was the candidate from Ohio State?
Jim Knowles.
Okay, yeah, that I was just double checking and making sure. That's what I said. Okay, yeah, I like the Jim Knowles one because you kind of like do the little reverse card, you know, like Elko was at A&M, went to Duke, now he's back at A&M. Knowles was at Duke, went to Ohio State, and then he could be back at Duke. Like he knows the program.
Well,
kinda...
you know, you said Oklahoma State, right?
Oh, whoops.
Jim Knowles was the Oklahoma State DC when they were having those runs in 18 through 21, just so you know, for what it's worth.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I kind of like that. A guy that's familiar with it. So, I mean, heck, to me, I don't think Duke is going to – Duke is not a big enough brand to, like – take a top G5 coach and put them at Duke. Like Duke, I think will get offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. Because I feel like a lot of these group of five coaches, like the one at Liberty, the one at Tulane, they want the bigger job. They want the whatever opens up P5 school mid tier that you could think of. Like, I don't know, throw in Michigan State or Nebraska or whatever, you know? That's where I feel like a lot of these G5 coaches are waiting for, the bigger program. If you're an OC, it's going to be your first time, more likely than not. So I feel like that's where Duke will go. But a question about that list. Did Tony Gibson pop up?
Excuse me.
Because there were rumors that Duke was talking to him a little bit.
No, but that would also make some sense. I mean, again, this list. I came out yesterday, actually, yesterday morning. But
oh, okay.
I mean, they're going to interview a lot of people or talk to a lot of people. So obviously, yeah. Like, it's not ruling anybody out. But that was just the top list. I don't want to spend too much time, you know, deep diving this kind of stuff. Like, in terms of, cause, you know, you just never know what's going to happen. I mean, I never thought that Kurt Cignetti would be the Indiana coach 3 days after they fired Tom Allen. But here enough, here we are. So, and again, Jamie Chadwell turned down Mississippi State. So a lot of things can happen in such a short period of time. So,
like Mark Stoops was practically hired.
Yeah.
At A&M. And then he turned around and went home. Like, right. that was the craziest thing I've ever seen. Like, it was his job. And I don't know if there was backlash at A&M. Or that was the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
I think it was a combination of, like, it was a feeler. Because, I mean, not to say that – because Mark Stoops has proven it more. But Mike Elko is a cheaper, less risky Mark Stoops.
Yeah.
That's what he is. Yeah. Like, they're both – they've proven they can recruit. They've proven that they can win at schools you don't expect them to win at. But they know what Elko did at Texas A&M. I mean, that's the best defense they've ever had in recent years, at least, was under Mike Elko.
That's why, so, like, a lot of A&M fans wanted him instead of Stoops, is what I've heard.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, and he's cheaper. Stoops would have cost $10 million. This cost $7 million. I know that's, like – I know that's 10-7. Wow, we'd both just die to have any of that. Hell, we'd die to get a million. But, like, at the end of the day, like, that's $3 million a year, less guarantee you had to worry about. So I think, again, it was a great hire, and we'll see where Duke goes from there. Let's take care of the last job opening that is not open anymore, and that's Syracuse, who hires Fran Brown from Georgia. Nick, I'm just going to say this part out loud. I think this is an awful hire. I think it's a terrible hire.
Okay.
And this is not a shot at Fran Brown. I want to make that very, very clear. I think Fran Brown is a hell of a football coach. He has proven that he can win. He's obviously, you know, he's one of the best recruiters in college football. Syracuse is not a recruiting program. They're a development program. You are not – I'm sorry. I don't care if Nick Saban walks through those damn doors. He is not getting five-star kids on a regular basis to come to Syracuse. I will be genuinely shocked if they can do that. The NIL game is not going to be the number that they're going to take to get a five-star. It's upstate freaking New York. There's not a bunch of talent in your backyard. Good luck convincing a kid from Florida to move to New York. No offense to Fred Brown, but, like, if you want to do the whole swagger thing as a five-star and go somewhere where, like, you don't expect, go to Colorado. I don't like it. I know he comes from New York. He knows the area. You know, he was ranked the number one recruiter in the 24 class. Like, he has a lot. Like, he is a hell of a football coach. That is not a shot at Fran Brown. I don't get it. I don't feel like Syracuse, like, and there's a lot of people that agree with me. I mean, one of my favorite podcasts. Shout out, by the way, Nick. I am followed by Bud Elliott of the Cover 3 podcast at 24/7 Sports now. So go me, I guess. But, you know, he has been harping that, like, Fran Brown is a fantastic, fantastic hire. As in the standpoint of – or sorry, fantastic coach, excuse me. But this is a very interesting hire. Because, like, this – I hope that what I'm saying for some odd reason gets circulated in the locker room. And I hope that I get read receipts and I get called out. Oh, my gosh.
You still there? Micah?
Now I know why my students always say they hate the Wi-Fi at the dorms. Goodness gracious, it just drops. But anyways, you know, I hope that I get read receipts. I hope that I am on Old Takes Exposed, because I want nothing more than Syracuse to succeed. I really do. Again, I will give them credit. This is kind of the opposite of what Dino Babers was. And that's why I was so upset they fired him, because I was like, wow, you just fired. So, like, you're just going to hire somebody that was just Geno Baber is just a different person. But they went opposite, and hopefully it pans out for him. But I just don't see how hiring a top-notch recruiter, not that he can't develop players, right? We don't know whether he can do that or not. But he was so successful recruiting. Is he really going to be able to do that at Syracuse? I personally say no. Not at the level that it would be to here you get, you know, like he's going to have enough five stars to win games off talent alone. And again, I don't at the level that it would take to get Syracuse to 7-8 wins a year, which is kind of what Syracuse is saying they want, considering they're going bowl eligible after, you know, the fact that they fired him when they were about to be bowl eligible.
Yeah, the way you've described everything, it seems like he's going to have to adjust and have a bit of a learning curve. You know, like he's able to get guys from Florida and Georgia and North Carolina and Texas to come to Georgia. And that's very easy to do. And he's a heck of a football coach. But I don't know, maybe Syracuse is thinking maybe this is the shot in the arm we need. We need someone that knows how to recruit. And maybe he's got something up his sleeve, but it's going to take a few years to develop because I don't think the recruiting is going to be there quite yet for him. So he's probably going to have to deal with 2 or 3 years if he's still there to develop these guys. And how good is he at developing? Well, we just don't know. He's been recruiting 4 and 5 stars all this time. I mean, Syracuse gets what? Maybe 1 4-star per recruiting class if they're lucky. They're always at the bottom of the conference when it comes to their recruiting classes. So he's going to have to convince guys to go, and he's also going to have to develop, which we don't know what that's like for him. So we'll see. It's an interesting hire. It's something different, so maybe different is good. But we'll see. I hope nothing for the best for them. And to get someone that was in the Georgia program – I think is a little boost, you know, it could be a step up. So we'll see. Interesting move, but I hope nothing for the best for them.
Yeah. I mean, like, again, I'll give credit to them. Like, I think it's not the worst thing in the world to hire somebody that is completely different than your last coach, right? Like a guy that, and not that Dino was not a good recruiter, but like he wasn't recruiting 5 stars at Bowling Green before he came over, you know, like he was similar to Dave Clawson. Everyone was talking about how he's the development guy. He's the, you know, next big thing guy. Like, you know, like we're going to take you and we'll give you a couple years in the program. And like, this might not be the wrong approach because at the end of the day, like you also have to recruit the portal. And I bet you he's able to do a pretty good job of that too. So who knows, man? Like, who knows? Maybe he will get like those Georgia kids that just don't play a lot at Georgia that are going to transfer to him, right?
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Like,
yeah.
You know, like they loved him so much and they're not like, you know, they're not going to be stars at Georgia, but they'd be stars at Syracuse. So, like, I credit Syracuse for, like, not a risky move, but, like, being different than what they've been in the past. Trying something that, I am willing to accept that if I'm wrong, I hope I get old takes exposed. I really do. I don't like the hire from that standpoint. I just don't see it for Syracuse. But, hey, take the shot, man. Why not? Like, I don't blame them at the same time for taking the shot. So, anyways, Nick, that's kind of all I got. I wanted to keep this podcast short for multiple reasons. One, we don't need to ramble on for 2 hours about this stuff. Two, I'm fighting a cold, and obviously I'd like to get some rest, and I'm still at work, so I'd like to go home. But three, like, I mean, let's just be real. There's only so much we can do. We're going to have a lot of off-season talk we're going to have to do come, you know, when we recap these games. And it's so fluid with all these, you know, portal entries and stuff to, like, I kind of want to – we might have to do a giant portal thing after it opens in a couple weeks. So
– right.
But yeah. Anything else you want to add? Nick, I'm so glad the ACC decided to tie the SEC, the ACC-SEC showdown. That was just gross. I mean, just being very transparent, that was disgusting to watch. But any quick takes on that you want to talk about? Or if not, Nick, I'll let you kind of send this one off for us.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up a little bit. We tied the SEC. Thanks a lot, Florida State, for blowing that. I mean, Mike, they led that whole freaking game, and yep. Georgia wins on a buzzer beater. They were up 13 at half. That we were going to win it. But shout out to the women's side. I don't know what the score is now, But last night it was 4-1 ACC.
I know Virginia won today, so you can at least put 5 on that list. I don't know.
Okay, that's good.
I know Virginia Tech LSU is either just tipped off or it's tipping off soon. That one's going to be one interesting game for sure.
Yeah, I know North Carolina and South Carolina were playing tonight too, so that'll be an interesting one as well.
Oh, did you know? I don't know who won. I think South Carolina was winning, but it got chippy, man. They started fighting a little bit early in the game. So,
yeah, there was a lot of hype going into that one. I was reading about it. There was a lot going into that. But yeah, you know, on the men's side though, a couple of pretty good ranked wins. Carolina beat Tennessee, which was huge. Right now, if you had to ask me, I think Carolina is the best team in the ACC. They look like they're back. Your Hoos got a nice little ranked win. Clemson got a nice little ranked win over Alabama. So that was pretty good. Those were some of the good things I took away from it. But my last thing, going back to football, I just wanted to say that the disrespect that Florida State has been getting, people wanting them out, even if they finish undefeated, is very, very annoying to hear. Because, A, Micah, of the top 8 teams, 4 of them struggled last week. And we all want to point to Florida State, who was playing with their backup QB. And I would argue that of those top 4,
they had the toughest game.
Of those 4 teams I'm talking about, Florida State had the tougher opponent. Alabama needed the hand of God to go down to Hugh Freeze and say, hey, only rush 2 on this play. Only rush 2. Georgia beat Georgia Tech by 8. And Washington needed to pull off a miracle against Wazoo.
Yep.
So everyone wants Florida State out because they don't want to watch them. Everyone thinks that the committee's job will be easier if Florida State loses.
Like, that's debatable. That's debatable. I think people think that the easiest.
I think it's debatable too.
The easiest has nothing to do with Florida State. It has everything to do with 4 undefeateds.
Yeah, like
Georgia wins, Michigan wins, Florida State wins, Washington wins. It's easy.
It's
literally the easiest thing of all time. Like that's the thing. It's Friday. We'll kind of know whether it's going to be at all stressful or not. Because like I really do think it comes down. Like I know like there's a lot of scenarios, right? I really do think that, like, if Washington wins on Friday, you've got 3 locked teams at this point. I really think I don't know how you can leave Georgia out even if they lose to Bama. The million-dollar question then becomes, like, who that 4th team is if it comes down to Alabama, Georgia, and, you know, whoever. But, like, I think, again, we're sitting in a spot where, you know, I'm not as – I know people are like, oh, this is going to be so crazy. It's like, well, Oregon beats Washington. I mean, I think whoever wins is in, but, like, now you've entered, like, the more 1-loss teams you have entered the chat, the more difficult it's going to become.
Yeah. And, like, if Alabama wins, then it's like, okay, what do you do with Texas? Because to me, I think games got to matter, too. And we never had that, where 2 out-of-conference teams who play each other earlier in the year are fighting for this spot. It's just crazy. And, you know, if back to my other point, if Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't exist for Ohio State, we would be talking about the Florida State guys. Like, it's just plain and simple. You know, Florida State is much more than just Jordan Travis. And I'm tired of people hoping that Louisville wins, picking Louisville. I know we shouldn't pick a team that, like, we hope wins. I do hope that Florida State wins just to shut everybody up. Like, it's just been, I couldn't believe it. I was listening to the college football podcast I listened to in the car last night. And I actually sat in my car when I parked in front of my driveway and was actually yelling. Like, I was getting so mad. I'd never been so mad for a team that wasn't mine. Like, just it was nuts to me. I think Florida State is they're much more than just Jordan Travis is basically what I'm saying. We give everybody we give everyone this pass on rivalry week, but we're not giving a pass to Florida State, where if Carson Beck was out, you know, people would give Georgia a pass. If Jaden Milroe was out, people would be giving Alabama a pass, but we're not doing the same for Florida State, who's been great all year, who shut down the Heisman contender, who's they've done all this, you know. So that's my little rant.
No, I 100% agree with what you just said. I mean, it's the way of the world right now. From that standpoint, just people, again, it does suck. Like, people, I get, because I do think, Nick, if Florida State's the four seed and Georgia's the one, let's say, right? Like, everything just goes chalk this week, 1-4 all win. I do think Georgia will beat Florida State. I do. I mean, it's like, but am I thinking that Texas would beat them? No. Like, Texas has struggled in so many games. Like, there's no real difference to me.
Like, Florida State this year is like TCU kind of last year. And people gave TCU the benefit of the doubt, even when they, before the Big 12 championship, because everyone kept saying, even if TCU loses to Kansas State in the Big 12, they should be in. And that's exactly what happened. They lost the Big 12 championship, and they were the four seed. Or, I'm sorry, the three seed. It just did not – it does not make sense to me.
Oh, I agree. Well, Nick, that's all I've got. I'm looking forward to being there on Saturday. Looking forward to
hopefully providing – have a lot of fun, man.
Oh, I'll try. I look forward to providing some – hopefully some good coverage. But remember, everybody, as always, it means just a little bit less here at AC Country. And go ACC.